Social media is everywhere these days. I think even Mr. Harris has a Facebook account, I know. I think he lurks around a little bit. He might not be willing to admit it to most of you, but it's true. And it's not uncommon to find people, especially on social media, invoking blessings in some manner or another. It may be in many of their public communications. Sometimes it can be as a part of a closure to an email that precedes their signature. It may be signing with blessings as part of a signature. And it's frequently used, at least I've observed, in social media where people openly acknowledge their gratitude of feeling blessed, or, in modern parlance, hashtag blessed. Quite often, when we see an open declaration of feeling blessed by God, the context appears to be usually very sincere. In my very quick and completely subjective search on Twitter for hashtag blessed, what I found was that many people were very thankful for something that they attributed to God. Only a very small minority were in vain, being blessed for having a BMW X1 or something like that. But I'm not in a position here today to judge whether it's someone's statement is genuine and sincere or not. That really is up to us to determine how blessed we are individually. But what I do want to do today is share a few scriptures about blessings from the Bible and describe how those blessings are offered to us today and how we ought to consider them if we are recipients. So let's turn over to Deuteronomy 11, and we'll read verses 26 through 28 first. Deuteronomy 11, beginning in verse number 26. Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today. And the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today, to go after other gods, which you have not known. Here we see a very clear promise made by God for those who are obedient, and in this case, it is this promise is offered specifically to the nation of Israel. Blessings are promised under the condition of obedience. It is that straightforward. If we want God to bless us, we are provided with a very clear set of instructions. And I don't know anybody who doesn't really want to be blessed by God. All we have to do to start with is learn obedience. To start there. If we consider ourselves to be blessed by God, we need to first make sure that we are being obedient. And if we are, these promises of blessings are provided. And of course, the other side of the coin is that if we choose to disobey, there is a curse. In fact, we know from other scriptures in the Bible that there is an end in death. That's the ultimate curse for disobedience. So we have a pretty strong incentive. On one hand, we can be obedient and expect the blessings of God, or we can be disobedient and expect the curse of ultimate death. Blessings abound in the Bible, but one of the greatest examples of blessings, one of the greatest examples of a recipient of blessings is Abraham. And I'll pull out a very specific scripture. This is in Hebrews 6, and we'll look at verses 13 through 15. Hebrews 6, beginning in verse number 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore to himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And so, after Abraham, had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. If we know the story of Abraham, and many of us here today probably do, we know that this promise made to Abraham of being multiplied was not something that Abraham had an opportunity to experience in its full fruition. He had a son named Isaac, and that son was given to him after a very long period of time. He waited, he was patient, and ultimately he was blessed. He was also blessed tremendously in wealth. He was not a poor man, but we also know that he was very faithful to God. He was obedient to God. Even when there was no apparent other person who was following the same things, that the same commandments, the same standards that he was. God had a special relationship with Abraham, and a promise, a blessing, was offered to him. And in fact, many of the blessings that nations, millions of people experience today are the result of Abraham's obedience. God has granted favor to so many people through that promise. And yet, there is also an expectation that blessings will be taken away and replaced with a curse because of disobedience. There's a blessing through the promise, through obedience. There's also the expectation of the curse, too. But of course, we focus on the blessing portion. Turn it with me, if you will, to 1 Chronicles 29, and we'll read verses 12 through 15. This is a passage about the preparation of the temple, the first temple. David was gathering materials and collecting them so that a temple could be constructed. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 12, here we read this. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. Now, David didn't have Twitter or Facebook to openly acknowledge God's blessing, but we have it recorded here. We clearly see that all good things come from God. That is David's acknowledgement. God is the one who offers riches, honor, abundance, power, strength, health, whatever good thing you can think of, it comes from God. It is all his to give to us. David also acknowledges the relative insignificance of us as human beings. Who are we? Who am I to be worthy of these abundant blessings? Certainly, there's nothing that we can do to be deserving of the blessings that we receive from God. Yet God is kind and gracious and generous enough to offer blessings to us on the condition of obedience. And what does David do with all of the abundance? It mentions it right here. He makes an offering. as a way of thanking God for all the blessings. He even acknowledges that he's just giving back to God what was his to begin with. And there was a massive offering made by David at that point, as well as the individuals in the nation of Israel to build the temple. They had a reason for making the offering that they did. The riches and the materials that were freely given by the nation of Israel were given to build the temple that glorified God. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 16, and we'll read verses 16 through 17. This is usually where we expect to begin, but I wanted to bring it up at this point in my message today. Deuteronomy 16 and verse 16. 3 times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses. At the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is today. At the Feast of Weeks, which is Pentecost. And at the Feast of Tabernacles. They shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. And verse 17 is what I wanted to draw your attention to. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord your God, which he has given you. Today is the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and also a holy day in which we are commanded to bring an offering to God. And this commandment explains why we bring an offering. We bring an offering to glorify God. We also see an instruction about how we need to make the offerings here. It's not just a commandment to do something, it is a commandment of how we are to do it. Certainly, with gratitude in our hearts, with willingness, according to our ability, that's important. We don't want to take out a home equity loan to make an offering. That's not the point. We give as we are able. But we are also instructed to consider God's role in our lives. We are to give an offering today, in a few minutes from now, according to the blessings which God has given us in our lives. And seeing that everything that we have, everything that is provided to us, the clothes on our back, the roof over our head, the fresh air that we breathe, the clean water we can drink, the peace that we enjoy, all of that is a blessing from God. But those are just the physical things. We have great spiritual blessings, too, which we must consider. Think about the many people you know who don't share the same understanding of the truth that you have. You are blessed because of the knowledge that you have of the truth and the opportunity that you have to have the Holy Spirit. That is a blessing, a unique blessing in this age. Think about the blessings of Abraham, if you will. He was wealthy. He was blessed by God. He was given a son, Isaac, through whom God's promise would be made manifest. Abraham was blessed with understanding to be obedient. And what did Abraham do when he was instructed to make an offering to God? He was willing to make an offering to God of his own son. He was that dedicated to God. How valuable that was to him. How blessed do you think Abraham felt? Quite a bit, if he was willing to make that offering of his only son, Isaac. In preparing our offering to God, we have to acknowledge God in our lives and consider carefully the blessings that he provides to us. Let's turn over to Matthew 5 and read verses 3 through 12. If you're thinking in your mind about the blessings that you have, I think this will prime the pump a little bit for you. Matthew 5 and verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Blessings from God go far beyond the physical. Do any of these things that we read here in Matthew 5 resonate with you? Do they describe your situation? Probably. The most important blessing that we have in our lives is not a material one. Just as Abraham's greatest blessing was his promised future, beyond the measure of his wealth, we have a promise of a great future as well in the family of God. That is a blessing. When we make our offering today, we need to make sure that whatever we offer to God reflects our acknowledgement of his blessings in our lives. Consider the physical blessings that God has granted you, but most importantly, consider the eternal spiritual blessings that you have been given. How blessed are you? Yeah.